Come on, come on. We just cannot get over the old rugged cross. Really, the Christ who gave his life on the cross. Amen. We trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives, and to him be the glory and the praise. Thank you, Brother Bill, Mama Rob, Miss Pat, Stephanie, for helping us worship in song with the instruments. Scripture says that we're to lift our voices in praise unto the Lord, and with the stringed instruments and the tools that God has given us to praise him with, we want to just give him glory and honor and thanks for all that he's done for us, and just praise him for all things. So let's get in the Word. Open up your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. We're going to look at verse number 27 for a little bit. I have a few things I want to give away to you today, and I think prayerfully the Lord will use it to be a blessing to you in the coming days, maybe this very day here, if not, to help somebody else with it. But we thank him for the opportunities we've had to be able to serve him this week, the things that he's doing in each of our lives. We can't help but give him praise for it. Amen. We're up to chapter number 11. We got a new, it was out last week actually, but you can just keep up with it. If you don't have one of those, we'd love for you to get one. This is our Nesting with Jesus reading. Whatever the day of the month is, this month we're going to be in Proverbs. It's just an easy way to keep up with it if you don't have a calendar. The Lord keeps expanding that. Brother Bill testified with us yesterday with me, and then he shared with the men this morning that Brother Ken Turner, that we've been connected with, friends with Brother Bill, friends with Briggs Chapel, come over and went caroling with us as well. Man that's been sick that we prayed for and watched God do a work. Watched God do a work in his heart over the last few years. And his desire to serve and just do what God has set him apart to do. And Brother Bill to testify that For a good period of time, when he would call, y'all would talk about cows, y'all, because he's a cow man. They'd done some business together with cows and helped one another on that. And he said, now when they call, they rarely ever talk about cows. They talk about what God's doing in his life. And what a blessing, amen. Amen. But he had recently had a burden for some two young girls, I believe, in their area that have been incarcerated. And they were doing some outreach ministry, and he took our Nesting with Jesus readings up there and shared it with them. And then those over the prison got a hold of it on the women's side of it and had started making copies of it and getting it out to all the ladies that are in the prison there and giving them a schedule to start their daily reading. So God just keeps opening up doors, amen. And we pray the Lord will use that and it'll be a blessing in his life. Bill also texted me and asked me, said, y'all were looking for grape juice around here and couldn't find any. That it was all shipped to North Carolina. And to God be, we're going to move on. Amen. All right, Proverbs. How to find it. How to find it. Notice what this proverb says here. He who earnestly, 11:27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Father, we thank you today that we can join one another in testimony of the cross and what you've done for us, what you gave for us, what your purpose in redeeming us for at the cross. We just want to thank you for your life. We want to thank you for your kindness toward us. We want to thank you for your redeeming grace. And we ask that you'll speak to all of us here today, that you'll help us with these things. I'm needy. I need you to help me communicate it in a way that will benefit your sheep, that you would speak life into them. And those that still yet need to know you, that haven't trusted you with their lives, that you will call them out today and speak life into them and set them apart for your glory. Thank you for revealing your Son in us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for shepherding our lives. We know that that is your delight and your desire to fill us up and to lead us as we journey through. And we want to learn how to seek things that will bring honor to you, bring good to us, will glorify your name, and that we would be the people that you can send people to, and that you can send us to a world around us, that we can be a tool in your hand. So help us. We thank you and we praise you for your guidance today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we usually find what we're looking for. My dad used to teach me that when I was a kid. I don't think he understood these principles here in Proverbs, but he understood it from a perspective of experience, that if you're going to live like a fool, you're going to attract fools in your life. You know, we're all like magnets. We attract like-minded people. If we live foolishly, we're going to see fools attracted to us. If we live rightly before the Lord, upright, righteously, that's simply living by faith, taking God at His word, trusting Him, God sends righteous people around us. He sends those to us. And in this proverb, He says, "He who seeks." And then the second half of the proverb says, "To him who seeks trouble, he's going to find evil. Trouble's going to come to him." And if we want to couple this, let's tie this together with another proverb. We're going to jump a few pages, a few proverbs. Go to chapter 13. Watch this in verse number 21. 13:21 says, let's see here. "Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Y'all notice that. Evil pursues sinners. And a sinner is somebody who just misses the mark on giving glory to God in life. A sinner is someone born as a sinner that's never been made right with the Lord by faith. And evil pursues, is on the hunt like an old hound after an old deer. He's got his nose to the ground, and he is going to find that sinner who is also pursuing trouble. You see, when you seek trouble and evil's pursuing you, you're going to run into evil at some point. It's coming. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But it's just the opposite, though, on the other side for the righteous. When they're seeking and desiring good and they're seeking to honor the Lord, good comes to them. Things come their way that's going to bring honor and glory to God. And my dad used to help me with this. He says, "Nick, if you act like a fool out there, people are not going to appreciate you and not going to like you, and you're not going to find favor with people." He never brought up the idea about finding favor with God, and that's our priority, to find favor with God and be in favor with man. We want to be in favor with man. We want to be winsome to men. We want to help men. We want to be a person that men look to and come to. When I say men, I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about men and women, that whether we're on the job or in our community or in our churches, that we're a person that people seeks us out for our faith, because we are confident in the things that God is doing. We have a direction from the Lord, and we're walking in that because we just simply trust the Lord, seeking Him, and good keeps coming our way. That doesn't mean we're not going to see troublesome things, but when you are a believer and troublesome things come your way, God uses that for good, doesn't He? Amen. We're talking about everything in our life God's going to use together for the good. Amen. No matter how troublesome it may be, everything works together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. We have that promise. But for those that are not rightly related to God, they're wrong, classified as being wicked and being a sinner. Evil is constantly hunting them down, looking for them, and they are looking for things in life that doesn't honor the Lord. They may not be bad things, but they're going to come together one day, and they're going to meet. And when he used to tell me that, playing ball and that type of thing, you know, when you play ball and people like what you do playing ball and they want to like you as a person, but sometimes you ever been around somebody that's really haughty and they're arrogant. They're really good at what they do. They're a good athlete or they're a good student, but they're very prideful. And they kind of condescend other people and talk down other people. People don't like being around that type of person, especially honest people. They want to bless young students and young athletes, but if they see them as being these prideful, arrogant full of themselves, people want to kind of stay away from it. That'd have turned you off, won't it? That'd have turned you off, even in our day, when it comes to like NFL and things like that. I'm turned off by all that stuff. I haven't watched it in a long time. And I enjoy watching college football, but it's even getting to the place that I don't even much as enjoy watching it as what I used to enjoy. Because there's so many that are just so full with themselves. I mean, God's given them a great gift, a great talent to use in a great way, but it's all about them. And that kind of just rubs me the wrong way. I used to, I guess, overlook it more at one time or didn't pay much attention to it, but it seems like today it stands out to me more and more. And I don't want to endorse that type of thing that we are only promoting ourselves, promoting things that are always about an individual or anything like that. And this passage helps me when it comes to how to find or how to make decisions in life. I was talking with one of our guys this week, and as I got to praying and looking over some things in my own personal life, these are some things that I went over a few years ago with myself when it comes to making some decisions about life and about ministry and about work. And I want to give you, I got a handout. Carolyn's going to help me pass some of these out. Come here, boys. Y'all come help me up here. Pass some of these. Come on down the aisle, Carolyn. These are some things that I just want to give you. You can keep them in your Bible. I'll give y'all some here to pass on down. Y'all pass them out for me right there. We're going to go over them a little bit. You'll help me? Make sure everybody gets one, okay? There should be plenty. How many of y'all got to make decisions on a pretty regular basis? That's just part of life, isn't it? And these are some steps that I began to look at. This probably goes back about 15 years for me, of some things I just sat down and some evaluation about life, about ministry, about work. And I realized that not only was it a help for me, but it seemed to be a help for a few other people. And I wanted to give it to you out of some of these passages that we've been looking at in Proverbs. One thing about Proverbs is that, like chapter 10, for an example. Chapter 10 is a contrast between those who are rightly related to God and those that are not. Every verse gives you a picture of what it looks like when a man is right with God and when a man's not right with God and the decisions they make. And you can go through, and if you want to really get a good glimpse of it, just take a pencil and write down, or a pen, every verse just on the side that it talks about, this will be for the righteous. Let's just look. Proverbs 10. Let's give you an example of this. Let's start in verse number 1. Proverbs 10 and verse number 1. You can write down like this. A wise son makes a glad what? Father. Us fathers, that would also imply to daughters as well, that when our sons and daughters are wise, that simply they make right decisions that honor God, that wisdom is simply knowing how to take the next step in life, knowing what to do next. And when our sons and daughters make wise decisions, it makes our heart glad. Amen, fathers? Amen. It really does. Mothers, does it make your heart glad when your children are making wise decisions in life? Okay, I would write that down. Look in verse number 2. Go down to the second part of it, but righteousness delivers from death. Why does he say righteousness delivers from death? Because he says the treasures of the wickedness won't profit what? Anything. Do y'all know money can't keep you from dying? All of us on a crash course from death, right? Yeah. But you know what? Money can't keep anybody from dying, but righteousness will deliver you from death. From the grave. What I mean is that when you die, you don't die because you had life in who? Jesus. In Jesus. Y'all remember I've told you that before. If you die before you die, you won't die when you die. See, when you die and you're not right with God, what do? You separate it.
Yes.
Then you have, what do you have the next thing to face? Scripture calls that the second death. That's when you face the judge and you cast in the everlasting lake of fire. But if you're righteous, that is by faith, you trust in God, you're right with Him. When you die physically, you alive spiritually.
Come on.
And then you'll receive a new body one day and you will ever be with the Lord. Amen? So you take it the next step. What does he say here? Verse number 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. So if I'm going to write a wise son makes a father glad, but righteousness delivers from death, and the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. And I start looking at all that, and I walk down every section of Proverbs chapter 10 and just write what it talks about the righteous, and then I look at my life, and I can claim every one of these principles as belonging to me because I belong to Jesus. That I could make a father glad when he sees me making wise decisions. And speaking about my father, appreciate y'all praying for him. He called me the other day, and it just tickled him that we got to spend a little more time than we usually do when I got to sit with him through his surgery. But he went to the doctor. They took the sling off of him, and the doctor said he was doing wonderful. Said everything. He's surprised on how well he was doing and the mobility of his arm. Doctor is a fairly good old-sized boy, and he told him, squeeze his hand, and he said, squeeze it as hard as you can. And the doctor said the doctor started backing off and said, please let go. You're squeezing it too hard. He said, you ain't supposed to be able to do that right now. And he said he's only had really one day that it really bothered him. And so praise God, all that they did. Now, he hadn't started doing the rehab yet. That's probably, but he said he's already been doing things on his own. That's how he does. It probably ain't supposed to be. But he's been doing stuff on his own to work it out. But he's doing great, so thank y'all for praying for him. And he was sharing with him. He started taking these little things as his sister-in-law sent him. I don't know what they are. I can't even tell you the name of them. But they come in a little bitty, they're what do they call it? Homeopathic, holistic type stuff. Started taking those in advance and took them all the way through. And he said when he sat with the doctor and explained what he was doing and what he did, and the nurse anesthetist that put him under and all and explained, and said that they were going to look into those things because they had not seen anybody do exactly as well as he had done. With the extensive surgery that he went through, he shouldn't have recovered that fast with very minimum little pain it shouldn't have been. And he thinks some of those things, and of course, you know, us praying for him was the difference in that. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for praying for him. So let's look at this right here. Take your sheet, if you would. The scriptures teach us in Proverbs chapter 4 that we are to ponder the path of our feet and let all our ways be established by God. That's the idea. That we're to examine and ponder the path of our feet, where our feet have gone, where they're going, and let God establish the path for us. Let He establish that in faith for us. And the following are just a few questions that I've structured to help you seek the Lord, evaluate your passions and your purpose before Him, that you may hear and know His heart for your life and ministry. Now, keep in mind, we want to be, when you look through this for yourself, and I'm not talking about necessarily just right now, I'm just going to walk you through it, but when you start working through this, just be honest with these things before the Lord. One thing we know, God knows our heart, amen? Amen. You can be open, you can be upright, you can be honest before God. Even if your honesty is not in line with Him, you want to be honest and ask Him to get you in line with Him. That's the whole point, the asking God to do something in us to walk with Him. Be sure you answer each one of these with integrity. We have an obligation, a divine obligation to plead and ask God for His inspiration from His Spirit, instruction from His Word, and illumination from His presence and favor. And we have an obligation to trust that He delights in shepherding our lives. He wants to lead us in all our decisions. He wants to guide us through, and we can. Psalms talks about in His presence we see light, and we need His presence and favor in our life. So, when we're making these major decisions in our journey, because everybody's going to make them. Some will have to make some today. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. Brother Shannon, it may be next year. We don't know that. But we're going to have to all make some decisions. First thing we want to ask ourselves, what is our motivation for doing? We want to ponder the path of our feet. What is our motivation? Is our motivation purely to do God's will? Has the Spirit of God led us into this work or this ministry? And it's important to remember this. If not, if our motive is not to do His will, to honor Him, we're going to be subject to be manipulated by various many things and be misled by our flesh. Amen. How many have ever been misled by your flesh? Wow. Have you ever been manipulated by things? Things like, for an example, how many of us make determinations on what we're going to do by how convenient it may be? I guarantee you today, think about it. If we in here had to walk 10, 15 miles to get here today, most people wouldn't be here. We come here and get here because it's convenient for us. But you know, there's a lot of people around the world, it's not convenient for them to gather with a group of people. When they gather, they got to walk 15 miles, 20 miles. There's a lot of places in these third world countries that a lot of these missionaries go. Karen, you read about these things before, I know. And a lot of these folks that we've been praying for, like over in the Philippines, it's not convenient for them to gather with a group of people when they gather. Some of them, matter of fact, have to cross. You know, the majors we've been praying for? They've got a few of their folks over in the Philippines got to cross rivers. A river, and then walk 15 miles through the jungle to get to a Bible study. That's not convenient. But they want to do what God has led them to do, and God is drawing them, and He's using them folks to tell them about Jesus. And if you think about that, if we had to get up at daylight and start making our journey over here, a lot of us wouldn't do it, would we? Wouldn't do it. But because of convenience. Another thing, not just convenience, how many of us make decisions on things about how comfortable we're going to be when we do it? We do. We're so used to being comfortable and convenient in our settings that we will determine a lot of what we do based on that. Whether it be going to work, or whether it be sitting in a deer stand. We would consider if it's raining or if it's in sub-zero temperatures. It's a whole lot easier to roll over and put my arm around this pretty girl right here than get out in about 10-degree weather when it's got ice on the ground. I say, well, I'll catch it tomorrow. It's not as comfortable. Well, the same way when it comes to us gathering together. I'm thinking about these folks in the Philippines again. They don't gather together in a place like this. We can. We've got AC going. Got heat going. They gather in an open place where they done cut down a log, where they have something to sit on, or a lot of them sitting on the bare ground. And they may have 25, 30 folks that's come from all over to get fighting off malaria with mosquitoes all around them. And you know they're using a projector to project some of these things up on the screen. And y'all know what light does when it gets dark, especially out in a jungle environment. What does it do? Bugs. I mean, bugs are attracted into it. That's not comfortable. But you know, walking up Calvary's Hill wasn't that comfortable either. But Jesus did it for us, didn't Amen. He? So we want to just take a look in our own lives of, it's not that God doesn't necessarily want us comfortable. It's not that we can't do things because it's convenient. That's not what I'm saying. It could be money things. You think about money. How many times money is a motivation factor for us? Whether think something is going to make us more money or something's going to cost us more money. That determines on what we're going to do. A lot of times missions are planned based on a cost factor, not a vision. But based on a cost factor, well, we just can't afford. But I believe this, if God gives us a view or a vision of a thing, you know what he's going to do? He's going to meet the need of it. Amen? Amen. He's promised us that. So we don't want those things to manipulate us in our motives. Our motive is to be a tool to do the will of God. Why? We're his subject. We're his ambassador. And if we're going to do it effectively, what do we need to do? We need to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that God can do with what he wants to do with it. And this applies not strictly to ministry, but we got to recognize that our work and Rusty's business, Chris's work, Brother Shannon's business, Brother Bill's business, all of our work, whatever we do, we need to look at it that this is part of the ministry or the mission God's given us. Amen. In life. Sandy's or Brandon's. Yeah. It's a mission God's given me. Come on. It's not just the work that I do. The work and the opportunity God's given me is a platform to do mission work for him. And I want to do that with wisdom. I need to do that with understanding. I need discernment. I need discretion, because just because I know that it's a ministry for me, I've got to be leaning on the Lord, because I may say something in out of character that I shouldn't have said. I may have said something too soon, or I may have been behind on what I should have said. I need to be in tune with God's Spirit, because I want to do God's will, and that's where discretion will keep us, right? How many of you ever said something that after you said it, you was like, uh-oh, I probably shouldn't have said that when I said it. I probably should have been a little more reserve on that. I got ahead of myself. See, if we're not careful, our flesh will move us. Other things will manipulate us, and we'll do something that is actually out of character of the will of God and for God's glory. The second thing, what is our mission? Is our mission to exalt, honor, praise, and please the Lord? Or is it to bring glory to the Savior or make a name for ourselves? It's just something we have to ask. In a day and time that we live in, especially in this social media world, everybody wants a little popularity. Amen? We see that all over. And what will happen if we're not careful, we'll compromise our honor and our ways to make a name for ourselves. And we have to be cautious of that. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I was reading in Proverbs and I saw a proverb that helped me with that. Look, if you would, in 11:16. Chapter 11 and verse number 16. Notice what it says about this gracious woman. 11:16 says, a gracious woman retains honor. But a ruthless man or ruthless men retain what? So they're willing to compromise their honor for what? For riches. And riches come in all kind of different ways. It's not necessarily just money. Popularity can lead to riches. Are you with me? So a gracious woman is not going to compromise her honor so that she can gain some kind of wealth or riches. So she's cautious on what she does, because she wants to honor the Lord with all that she has. As Proverbs chapter 3 teaches us, honor the Lord with all our substance, with all our possessions, and the first fruits of our increase, that our barns may be filled. Simply saying, put God chief, put him first. And when you do, God's going to make sure you have everything you need in life, because you're going to honor or promote him. So when we look at that, what is our mission? Number three, what will be our ministry? Will it be to sacrificially serve others with no motive for praise or power or popularity or world prosperity? Is it to exalt Jesus by encouraging, exhorting, and equipping the saints? Or is it to evangelize sinners, or even all the above? Simply knowing Who are we going to serve? What is the purpose of what we're doing in the ministry that we provide is fundamental. And just asking some of these simple questions before we make some decisions on these things in life. What is our mark? And that would be, who are the subjects that we're going to reach or minister to, or really lead As an employer, as an employee, as a boss, will it be the saints of God or the stewards of the kingdom? Or is it going to be sinners who are perishing in their sin, living without Jesus in this life? Or a group of people that have little to nothing to give in return for your service to them and their families? Just who are we going to be serving? Who are we going to be? We need to know the mark. We need to know who we're going to be leading as we make some of these decisions. What is our model? On the backside, you'll see what is our model. Are the foundational principles and practical applications supported biblically in what I'm doing? Well, if I'm a dad, I'm to provide and take care of my family. So yes, the scripture says that's a biblical thing. If I'm a mother, I'm to be the heart of the home, and what I do and everything I do is thought of that, how I can honor my husband, how I can take care of my children, how I can be a blessing to other people. That's all supported biblically. Is that ministry going to be a tool that helps other people? All these things are really looking at, okay, God, I need you to be my example in this. I need you to help me. Number six, what is going to be our method? I call it the miraculous. Is this something that we can do in our natural flesh? A lot of times it is. It can be. We can do this naturally. Or is it going to take God to work in us for this minister to bring glory to His name and richly and eternally bless others? That is going to separate us from just the next man. Because all of us have gifts God's given us that we can use and do naturally to do things in this life. But we want to do things not just in the natural gifts God's given us. We need something supernatural to work in us that sets us apart from everyone else in what we're doing. Why? So that we can be a vessel that God can use us to be a blessing to other people. And that I don't want to rely on my natural abilities. Even though God's given you what He's given you, Rusty or Tooney, Miss Trish or Stephanie. There's a lot of things you can do, Karen, in your natural strength. There's things that I can do, Bone can do, Greg can do. But we want God's help, amen? That takes it to another place, that when He uses what He's gifted me with, and then His grace is upon it and He's helping me, because it goes beyond just what I can do technically, it has an effect of reaching people. And we want His favor and presence upon us to reach people. Amen? In what we do and how we do it. So, number seven, what is going to be our means? Through God's grace, who will support this particular ministry or work emotionally, spiritually, or financially? Basically, who will it be that is going to work by faith, labor in love, persevere through God's hope to fulfill God's will, and serve a particular group of people with His love and light? Is it going to be me making myself available to do this work, whatever it may be, to lead in this job or this particular ministries? These, of course, are not exhaustive. There's a lot more things you can look at. But these are just tools to help. Now, I believe they'll help you in the days ahead, and some of the things, you can stuff them in your Bible, put them on your dresser, or you can take it, crumble it up, and throw it in the garbage. But I believe it'll help you in some of the decisions that you'll have to make. These are things that I've asked myself, and some of the things we've done and doing. I got to ask, how is this going to work out for the glory of God, to bless His people, to meet needs? Is this something I'm wanting to do, or is this something God's leading me to do? Well, if He's leading me to do it, He's going to shepherd me through it. And if He's going to shepherd me through it, He's going to meet the need of it. And if He's going to meet the need of it, and He's going to be the core of it and the foundation of it, He's going to get the glory for it. And that's a job, a ministry, a mission, whatever it may be, because our jobs is a mission.
Amen.
Our works are a mission. God's put us where He's put us to be a light in a dark world. Amen. And to Him be the glory. There's a few other things you can look at on here, but for time's sake, I figured this would be enough to pass on to you. And I pray that it will be a blessing for you. And we just give Him the praise for it. And if you got any questions on it, just ask, and we'll seek the word of the Lord and ask God's help for it. Amen. Some of you are saying, well, preacher, I'm beyond all those things. I'm beyond that. I'm moving into that retirement age. Well, you become a vessel to help another person coming up behind you.
because everybody's looking for a little help, a little guidance in these types of things to help point them in some ways that they can finalize some stuff in their own journey, in their own walk, in the decisions that God would have for us. And I trust the Lord that He doesn't play games with us. Amen. I trust the Lord He wants to lead us. And when He puts something in us and He puts a desire in us and my life is His and I'm being used to glorify Him, you can count on the Lord's going to lead you into His will for His glory. Seek Him first. Amen. And when you do, He said He'll make sure everything else falls right into its place for His glory. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You today. We ask for Your continual help to meet these needs in our life and our church family's lives as we make decisions about helping and being part of missionary work and those types of things. We just want to honor You. We want to support all our brethren and their families and their wives and their children in the jobs they do and the places they go and the mission they are accomplishing. We want to be a tool to help them and be part of what they are doing because it's all part of us here in our church family. Thank You for opening doors around the world for this little flock to have an influence on people around this world. And we just thank You for that. And we just ask You'll continue to use us, continue to give us wisdom, continue to put forth the vision You've given, and we're going to thank You. We're going to thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you stand with us? What are we going to sing, brother?
704.
704. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let me recommend a couple things to you before we go. Sometimes when He makes that way, He'll make it, no doubt, through us praying. I know Brother Shannon talked about prayer on Wednesday night. God says oftentimes before He does a thing, He puts it in our heart to be praying about a thing that He's going to do. And that's why we want to give it to Him and pray. The other side of that is sometimes we might need to fast and seek the Lord. Fasting is simply, the word means to cover the mouth, to abstain from food and drink, to cover up the mouth, because water and bread are two things we need to live in this life naturally. Got to have it to live naturally. Well, when you fast and you cover the mouth, you say, Lord, I'm giving up something that makes me want to, that I need to live naturally so that I can hear a supernatural word from You. And I want to hear from You because I can't live. I don't want to take the next step without hearing from You. So I'm willing to cover the mouth and abstain from food. And when I go to thinking about food, how many of y'all think about food? Food, most everybody's thinking about what they're going to eat next or when they're going to eat. But when you're fasting, you're covering the mouth, you take that focus and you put it on the Lord. You seek Him and to hear from Him and He'll speak to you and give you wisdom and guidance on what to do. And sometimes it takes fasting to hear from Him. And you know what that does? It just draws us closer to Him.
Amen.
That's what He's doing in that. So to Him be the glory. And so don't He lead you, you follow His lead. You always want to be Spirit-led when you fast. You're not doing it in the flesh. You're doing it because God led you to do it. And when you do, you can anticipate Him speaking to you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.